Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to episode 326 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, March 6th, 2019, and my name is Dan Gorman. Good practice, team. Okay, now it's time for the easiest part of any coach's job, the cut. Now, while I wasn't able to cut everybody I wanted to, I have cut a lot of you.
My name is Casey Lyons, and you all say, I want a nice guy with a sense of humor. But when one is standing right behind you, rubbing your shoulders while you're looking at wedding dresses, you're all, that joke is racist, sir.
My name is Greg LeGros, and we may have started this rebellion by accident, but by the rings of Nebulon, we are going to finish it on purpose.
Oh, we have lots to talk about this week in Film Roulette. The punishment film was Little Italy. It was winner's choice. We have a punishment album from longtime punishment album feature ICP. And we'll talk about lots of other stuff later in the show. But first, please let us know what you think of the show at info@modernsuperior.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. And go follow us on all of the social medias at SYNWPC, Facebook and Twitter. All right. What's going on?
What?
Hi,
yeah,
guys.
Hello.
Hi.
We're back.
Hi.
What's going on?
What's up, guys?
What's going? Winter's still here.
Yeah, it's so cold.
Oh, it's so fucking cold.
It's so cold.
Isn't it March or some shit right now?
It is.
I thought it was supposed to be spring now.
No.
Isn't that March?
No, it's not. Spring is in like 2 weeks. But yes, it's supposed to be at least not minus 20.
Minus 14 goddamn day. Your skin hurts.
Yeah.
I saw this fucking asshole.
That's a good way to start a story. So I saw this fucking asshole over here.
He's probably just walking from one building to another. But this morning, like, it was that thing where you're walking down the street and your face hurts.
Yeah.
And he was like walking.
Is this shorts, man?
Short sleeve shirt, anyway.
Okay.
And just like walking along. But walking like it ain't no thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Don't pretend it ain't no thing. It's a thing, and your arms are on fire right now.
Yeah.
You're in so much pain, but you're just all doo-la-doo-doo-doo.
It doesn't bother me, actually.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know what it is. Maybe just
Are you guys cold?
Oh, is it cold?
Oh, is it cold,
is it cold today?
Yeah. Oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's some dumb shit.
The worst.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
That guy could suck a boner.
Yeah. I don't know why it's always this cold. No matter how cold it is, it's always like 5 degrees colder in my car when I first get in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on in here?
It's so cold.
It holds it.
It holds it in.
I don't know the science on that.
Yeah,
but
it's a fucking nightmare, though.
Yeah. So I feel like since the last episode, we've like had a lot of news in terms of people passing away and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. There's at least one or two, right?
Oh, there's like three that I can think of off the top of my dome.
Yeah.
Two that were like, oh, and then one that I found genuinely upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the history of this show, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time.
We should get
listeners.
Into that, yeah.
Yeah. Long time listeners. Because we haven't done this in a long time. will remember our 902. What was it called? 902.
Oh, yeah. Corner.
One of my favorite things we've ever done on
so
the show.
So good. Yeah, it was fun.
It was fantastic. Yeah,
it started as like a joke because like it was not a show that we had. I feel like I'd watched it, but it wasn't something that I had any nostalgia for. But it was kind of a fun thing to go back to and joke about. But then we all kind of were like super into the funness of watching that show.
Yeah. Like I can't say it was ever actually like, wow, I'm a fan of this show now.
Yeah.
No. Because
it was always still
very silly.
It was always still a huge chore to watch it. But I really enjoyed, like, I guess I got invested in it through the show.
Yeah.
So when I found out that Luke Perry died, I was genuinely upset.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it was one of those celebrity passing where, first of all, he was such a big thing for so many teenagers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also one of those passings where the stories I was seeing that people in the entertainment industry were sharing about him being so kind and wonderful and stuff. It was one of those things where it was almost like a sneak attack, like, oh, he's been this great guy all along. And like me as just a normal person, like watching movies and stuff, I never really thought about it. Or just it was like this revealing thing where it was like, oh, he was just this wonderful man. Like there was these stories about him being so kind to people coming up in the industry and like giving them advice and just being like a good dude. And I was like, oh, I like it when you hear those stories.
Yeah. To be fair though, his advice was be very handsome all the time. just such a bummer.
Yeah.
Like it's funny. I was like, not amused. That's the wrong word.
Yeah.
But like, I was a little like sort of taken aback by how much I was affected by it.
And how much everyone was. It was a pretty, social media really blew up with people just not being fucking okay with this.
Yeah.
It's a huge figure of the era.
It's hard when a 52-year-old dies. Because it really puts your mortality all up in your face.
Oh yeah. And he's a husband and father. Like, that's just terrible.
It's the worst. My heart definitely goes out to his family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only was he somebody who had a long career and he was on Riverdale recently and had like a bit of a resurgence there, but even when he wasn't like headlining movies and stuff, I feel like I always got the sense that he had like a sense of humor about it, like his stuff on The Simpsons and the stuff on Clone High. I feel like he always was like, even when he was kind of a punchline in the world of like popular culture where it's like, oh, it's the guy from 90210, he always kind of like rolled with it.
I feel like he was a bit of a class act in that way. But he had like a joke on Family Guy or something that was directly related to 90210, and it was really funny. He said something about, I don't know, somebody told him something, and he's like, oh yeah, Shannon Doherty told me the same thing, but I thought she was just being a bitch. Which I was like, that's pretty funny. What a sad time.
Yeah. Keith Flint from The Prodigy.
Died on the same day.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, nobody dies for publicity or whatever, but I was kind of like, oh, I mean, people were, you know, people went to their social media for him kind of thing.
Yeah.
But got a little bit overshadowed, which is too bad, because, I mean, I guess he was a guy who kind of struggled with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And both of them just huge, iconic figures of the 90s.
Totally. Yeah,
obviously, the early part of the 90s for Luke Perry, but like the 97, 98, that black and white video of Firestarter is kind of the moment.
Oh, yeah. And like for so many people of that era that were into that kind of music, like bridging like mainstream, like alternative stuff and that kind of like heavy electronic stuff, like they were the band that blew up for that.
Yeah.
So for like a lot of people, that was it. Yeah.
And they had like, I mean, we were roommates with a guy at the time. Greg and I were roommates with a guy who was like big into this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I was not big into this kind of music at all. But Prodigy was the band that was I was kind of like, all right, maybe
there's
I'm
some
a little
stuff. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because they had so many what I'll just call great fucking songs.
Yeah, definitely.
I gave it a good try because of them.
Yeah. But they were one of those bands that rose a little bit higher than the rest of them. And if you try to delve into the rest of them, you're like, oh, no, this is all garbage.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
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 And Catherine Hellman also passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Mona from Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
And King Kong Bundy.
Ugh.
What?
I don't know. What an incongruous pair of people to mention.
I didn't kill them.
Yeah.
That's the list.
That's what someone who killed them would say. That is really awful.
Yeah.
I don't know how either of them died. But
no. Catherine Hellman, obviously a huge part of childhood.
Yeah.
I watched the shit out of Who's the Boss.
She was the quintessential horny grandma.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a fine performer in many Terry Gilliam films. Most
memorable,
Brazil. Yeah. Great in Brazil.
So good.
Yeah. She was like straight up hilarious on Soap.
Fuck yeah.
Which is a show that I don't think gets a lot of respect for being insanely hilarious all the time.
And
like, groundbreaking.
Yeah. Oh, it's really different.
Yeah.
It's still like you watch it now and you're like, this isn't how shows go.
Yeah. It would be like pretty groundbreaking today. Like in its frank discussion of like racism and sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all like just all of the insane people who were nobodies when that show started.
Yeah, yeah.
Came up through that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, big bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, a whole bunch all at once. A lot of, like, icons of era.
Yeah,
childhood.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what else was in the news outside of that? Do we want to get into some trailers? Or was there some newsy news?
Was there newsy news?
I don't know.
Like everything's kind of like blah da boo. We don't go the Oscars. Oh, the Oscars.
Oh yeah, the Oscars.
Did we have to talk about the Oscars?
I guess
no.
not. No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes. No. Absolutely. Because we haven't talked about fucking Green Book one.
Yeah.
Which. What the fuck?
I know.
I didn't mind it when I saw it. I thought it was a fine, just whatever movie.
Yeah.
But best fucking picture. This is one of the fucking shittiest. Like, I don't like Gladiator. But at least it's fucking grandiose and spectacle.
Yeah.
Like, it's something. Like, people work fucking hard on that.
It's
bit,
just,
you know?
the thing about Green Book is, like,
you
it's...
don't think people work very hard on Green Book?
No, I don't. I fucking don't. I think Viggo and Mahershala did. They turned into some very fine performances, but, like...
Totally.
It's just... The level of work could not even come close to Gladiator.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I mean,
it's mostly in a car.
Yeah.
There were no cars in Gladiator.
And if there were, they probably made them with computers built them and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like just good enough of a movie that, like in some ways, it's the perfect movie to win because it's the kind of movie that is dealing with like an important subject, but not dealing it in a way where you leave the movie theater being like, that's a problem now. Like, mm-hmm. the stark difference between this and Black Klansman is Black Klansman ends with like, and this is fucked up now, and fucking leave the theater and think about it, and we have to deal with this. And Green Book is very like,
thank
this
God
is a thing that happened. Yeah,
again.
they were friends till the end. It's
that's
like,
something that I read. Somebody tweeted that it really sticks the landing for movie about racism that allows Republicans to feel good at the end.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And it is like just entertaining enough of a movie that like you almost can like feel that way and just be like, oh, it was a fun movie. But yeah, it like best picture, fucking come on, give me a break.
Weak.
Especially for a movie, a year with movies about that, Blindspotting, Black Klansman. These are movies about a black man and a white man having a friendship, dealing with issues of race, navigating through them and finding common ground, and then the one that won was just like the most white Academy Award winning voting kind of movie. It's a bummer.
And it's just like the Oscars is just in shambles. Like, what a mess they are. Like, we're not going to show these categories. Oh, fuck. Now we are. We don't have a host.
Now we have Green Book. Now we have 100 hosts.
I liked the no host thing, though.
You know what? It was fine.
It got us out at 11:30, and I was...
The elements of the thing were fine. Obviously, Tina Fey and... Amy Poehler,
Maya Rudolph,
they came out. I'm like, well, this is what you should have done because this is hilarious. You know, just get them to do everything. That was great. Olivia Colman's speech was wonderful, and I'm so glad she won. That was so good. That is super cool. I haven't seen The Favorite, but I've seen a lot of her work, and I'm a fan of her.
She's so good. Yeah,
neat.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a couple good speeches like that. It was just kind of like,
just like the Green Book thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was just like a big turd at the end.
Yeah.
Just a fuck that you're fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Anyway.
I once again did not watch the Oscars because
You said you were going to watch a certain movie on Twitter, but then you didn't.
Then I didn't.
Did you buy that on later? You said something not true.
Do you know, it's true. If you lie on Twitter, you die in real life. Did you know that?
Oh my God.
And a lot of people.
That's why I don't tweet.
I mean, yeah. Just to be safe. Yeah. You're unless a I'm, huge I'm, fucking liar.
Unless I'm really mad at Eric Anderson.
Yeah.
Most of my tweets.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way, but unless I'm really mad at Eric Estrada. In which case, I will let him know. Yeah. Punch. Was he Punch?
Yeah, he's all Punch.
Right, sweet.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Boobity boop.
Yeah. Was there other news?
I don't think. Whatever. Great book.
Greg, you scared Dan.
Oh, it's just Greg. Oh, it's just Greg over there. I hadn't looked over there in a while. I forgot somebody else was here. And, well, there was the trailer for the new film from Hereditary director.
Oh yeah,
Ari Aster.
Yeah,
Midsommar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, Hereditary.
I want to be excited about this, but because of how I felt about Hereditary, I'm just kind of like, is this going to be another movie where I'm hook, line, and sinkered, and then all of a sudden you're just going to fall back on being a dumb cult horror movie that I've seen 100 times.
Yeah, and it's just like there were so many things that called back to all these other movies, and a little part of me after watching that trailer was like, oh, so we watched The Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but also, there were every once in a while I'd be like, Mother? Mother? Like, it feels a little like... Yeah, I didn't like it.
No.
I did not like that trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it didn't catch my interest. I was just like, well, it's going to be lovely looking again.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Hereditary looks great.
Looks nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just maybe going into this with Hereditary, my like expectations being knocked down a bit, I'll go into this with just like, I hope it's fine and I'll be surprised or something. But
yeah, but I'm very cautious with this one.
Yeah,
like theater, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd have to hear some really very good, strong word of mouth.
Yeah,
but all I heard about Hereditary is that it's the scariest movie of all time.
That's true.
And it
has some really great stuff in the first.
It does have things.
It's a bad movie
that has a lot of great stuff in it.
It's a bad movie that should have just been a bad movie and not been like, I'm an art movie.
Yeah.
And you're really going to care about the stuff that's going on in this family. And I'm going to set it all up so that you expect to care.
Yeah.
But then I'm just going to pull a Ouija board out and be The Conjuring. And it's like, that's fine. But you had me thinking you weren't The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And like...
And
now
also,
I'm disappointed. It's fine. Like, it's not the worst movie ever, but like, yeah.
But and also remember when I set it up like you were going to care about this family. You're not.
Yeah.
But also Toni Collette is fucking amazing.
Yeah, she's
always
great in
it.
Yeah.
It is worth watching just for her performance.
Totally. Yeah. So we'll see what goes on with that Midsommar.
Yeah. I don't know.
I saw another trailer. I saw another trailer that apparently I didn't know this, but apparently there's going to be a movie and a TV series of Critters.
Oh yes,
I didn't know about the TV series.
Neither
but
did I
certainly saw the trailer for the movie.
Yeah,
which I was like, why are they making another Critters movie? And then I was like, oh, this is why.
Yeah,
because
it looks fucking
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, puppets. I thought it was going to be CGI nonsense.
No,
it's puppets.
Yeah,
and the puppets look exactly like
totally
they did
the red
eyes,
the whole thing.
I was like, did they just get the big critter ball?
Yeah,
that they probably just had that somewhere.
It looks pretty much
garage this whole time.
Yeah,
yeah. I liked that trailer so much, I watched Critters.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Which I haven't seen with sound on
so
in like
good.
A long, long, long time.
I love Critters 1.
It's great.
It's so good. Such a good monster movie.
Fucking packed with ideas.
Yeah.
So many ideas. Yeah. Now it's not a great movie, but it's a real
it's
good
an
time.
Ambitious movie, and I like those movies where it's like it's not just like, oh, the little guys are gonna eat you and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole other subplot integral to the plot that is another great idea. Just like you're saying. I like that.
And it's one of those...
I feel like Night of the Creeps is another movie.
Totally.
Like that, where it's like, there's a lot going on here and it all fits together nicely.
Yeah, yeah. And both movies are ambitious but also have a sense of humor where they're not like, I'm going to reach for the skies and you better take me seriously. It's more just like, I'm going to do all the stuff I want to do and then I'll also wink at you.
Yeah.
Night of the Creeps is far superior.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Night of the Creeps is one of the fucking best movies.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, Critters is a good time.
Yeah.
Critters is also a good time.
You asking the question, what's up with that bus driver?
What's, so there's a TV show too for
apparently.
Critters?
That's a rumor I heard.
Oh. Cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm down for the movie. I think it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Looks like about what a Critters movie should be.
But I also don't feel like the tone of that trailer is given to an entire TV series.
No.
No, you get tired of that.
The movie's just fine. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Walk away. I don't think I need...
Now,
I'm
going on secondhand information here, and I have not looked anything up.
I'm glad you haven't.
It's my thing.
I feel like that is the crux of our show.
Yeah.
Mostly,
yeah.
We have an idea.
Yeah.
We got a lot of ideas.
Yep.
We're a lot like Critters in there.
Yeah. Another trailer... Speaking of trailers, is a actually? Oh wait, no, we shouldn't talk about that till the end of the show.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
No.
Was there any other news or anything?
I don't fucking think so.
No,
I don't fucking know, Daniel.
I don't fucking think so.
Okay, what have you been watching?
I tell you something. I watched something a while ago. I forgot to bring up last episode.
Is that this what you were trying to remember?
No.
Oh,
it was something else. But this I also forgot to talk about. Last episode, I saw Bumblebee.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
Yeah.
What did you think of that movie?
I thought it was wonderful.
Oh, I want to see it.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And the first 5 minutes make up for all of the... Not make up for, but are infinitely better than all of the other Transformers movies combined.
Yeah.
I loved the first 5 minutes intensely.
I like that they set up the antagonist in a really great way.
Totally. And when you have a good actor as your human centerpiece, then very good. That works out much better.
Human centerpiece. It's the spiritual sequel to Human Centipede. Please continue.
Well, the guy in the middle is the human centipede. Yeah.
No, it's not going to get any better than that. We're done. We're done for tonight. Dan One Podcast.
I loved the effects. I loved the action. You could see things as they were happening. Not too many fucking Transformers.
There's only a couple Transformers. They look fucking dope.
And when they do things, I can tell what they're doing.
Yeah.
I thought the soundtrack was great. It was somebody like informed on that era's music and has an affinity for it.
Yeah.
And I thought she was terrific. Haley,
she was so good. Yeah. The kid, too, who played her little sidekick. I didn't know what his name was. He was really delightful,
absolutely.
Too.
It's a kid's movie, but it's a very fucking good kid's movie.
Do you see what I mean? How it's kind of like it's more E.T. than...
100%.
Yeah.
It was a good time, and I will totally watch it again. I could not believe it.
I'm so glad you watched it. I'm so glad that that someone else bore witness.
Yeah,
to,
man.
I'm going to watch it. As soon as I can rent it, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Watch it.
Do you mean as soon as you're old enough?
Yeah.
Because I think it's PG.
As soon as I can rent it, I'm not allowed to see 18A yet.
super good.
Yeah. Bumblebee, I want to watch it.
Yeah, boy, those first 5 minutes.
What? Need a second?
Oh my goodness, I don't know what happened. I watched a couple things. I watched a movie that I'd never seen before from 1994. That wasn't supposed to rhyme, but it did.
Never seen before from 1994.
Yeah. It's a lazy rhyme, but I'll let it go.
But just allow me. I watched The Lion King.
Oh, nice. Oh, you've never seen The Lion King?
Never seen The Lion King.
Yeah, fair enough. I've never. There's a lot of those I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Why
would I have ever seen it? Came out in 1994.
I guess it's the only one of that big era that I have seen.
Yeah.
Because it was like I was at a place and it was like the only thing I could watch on there.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess I'll watch The Lion King.
Yeah.
But I've never seen Aladdin all the way through.
No, there's no, I don't think that. Well, I don't know. I've never seen it either. I'm not going to. You don't need Brendan. Fuck do I know about it?
Yeah. Anyway, Lion King.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Mm. It's pretty good. Like it was fun watching it with the kids.
Sure.
Because Walt is very fond of pointing out lions. Nice. So there's a lot of that for him.
Yeah.
And Beatrice enjoyed it, and it's something that Maya's grew up with, so right. She yeah. truly loves, and she really loves watching those Disney movies with the kids too. So that was kind of a nice element. But I was watching it, and I'm like, yeah, that's all right. I'd rather watch this than Hamlet. So good enough.
Than Hamlet?
Yeah.
Like which one?
Any Hamlet, yeah. Hamlet, any Hamlet, or any other Shakespeare.
What about Strange Brew?
Yeah.
What?
Is that Strange Brew's Hamlet?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well.
L.A. Story.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I'm saying is that like any sort of remake of
Hamlet is better than
or any Shakespeare is
what are
better
we talking
than
about?
Actual Shakespeare.
Lion King.
10 Things I Hate About You, better than Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Clueless, better than Shakespeare.
I don't know what either of those are. I know what they are.
You should watch Beauty and the Beast.
Mm. I haven't seen that one either. I've never seen
Beauty
that one.
And the Beast is so good and
I
not just
watching
nostalgic.
The live action one.
Don't do that.
No. Because Emma Beauty? I don't remember what her name
okay.
is.
Okay, I didn't know you were saying the person in the movie.
Oh, yeah, as opposed to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about your girlfriend, Dad.
Emma told me it was great, so I got something to say. Watson. Emma Watson.
Yes, Emma Watson. Cannot sing. So they've got her voice so processed that it's almost interesting to watch on the basis of that alone.
Okay. Speaking of all this, there was some other news. Did you guys see the Aladdin live-action trailer.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know, this doesn't look great. And then all of a sudden you're like, this looks terrible when Will Smith shows up.
Looks
bad.
Oh, no.
And like, so coming off of the Lion King trailer, which I was like, okay, they did another one of these. Mm-hmm. This looks even more just like they took it shot for shot and made a new live at like CGI version of this movie. And then the Aladdin trailer was like, how bad can we get down from just what looks like an okay retelling?
Well, I think the big difference is Jon Favreau, who did a great job with The Jungle Book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Directing
Guy Ritchie.
I keep forgetting that's
even worse. It's going to suck so bad.
Imagine how bad that's going to suck.
It is startling how horrible Will Smith comes
looks
off
awful.
As the genie. He looks so stupid, but also it's like,
he looks like he's in a toilet cleaner commercial.
He looks like he's about to vape. He's like about to vape really hard.
He looks like he wants to clean my floor.
It's such a mistake to cast him when you have the Robin Williams standard of like, he's like, Robin Williams is like a man of 1,000 voices and characters at a mile a minute. And Will Smith has one
Will
thing.
Smith.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit in this.
It is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. That is his thing.
It's the only thing. It's a fine thing, but it isn't this thing.
No.
I can kind of understand why they would say, like, we need somebody who, underneath it all, you will be able to, like, find charming no matter what. But,
Go get Jack Black.
Yeah.
Someone who can do a couple of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Somebody who makes crazy movements and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not just a guy who comes out of the lamp and stands there all blue.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so weird.
Oh, man.
It's uncomfortable.
It is
I feel like
it's a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Already. And I fucking love it. I will see it.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to see it. I want to see constant footage of this. Because it is unbelievable that it exists.
Going back to the 80s movies off of the Bumblebee, I watched an 80s movie for the first time this week.
Yeah.
It is called Lucas.
Oh my God.
I had never seen Lucas.
It's got everything. It's got slow claps, all kinds of shit.
Yep.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Trying to hide his tattoo. And you're like, there's a tattoo there. You just put makeup over it.
Yeah. Lucas.
Yeah.
Cary Grant.
Yeah. Corey Haim. Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Which is wild because Winona Ryder looks so young in this, and it's only like 2 years before Heather's. And I was like, you were all of a sudden a teenager like 2 years later. Holy shit. Yeah. What a great movie. Just enough there in terms of the characterizations and like the sensitivity to be better than you would expect from that kind of an 80s movie, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. It was a super bummer to be watching it and then realize that, like, oh, this is the movie that he was making that apparently he was, like, assaulted when he was making it, and that kind of, like, started his sort of downward spiral ultimately. And so that was really fucked up to be like, I really like this movie, but also, holy shit, whatever happened behind the scenes was, like, the worst thing in the world. So it was really, like, hard to watch it. But he's so good. Corey Haim is so good in this movie. Like, unbelievably good. Just so good.
It was the same thing with Corey Feldman. Like, they were great as kids.
Yeah.
I feel like Corey Haim, I don't remember Silver Bullet. I haven't seen it in a very long time.
It's got some silly parts.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's got some good stuff.
But I remember him being pretty good in it.
Yeah. And Feldman, too. Like, he's terrific in Goonies.
Yeah.
He's so remarkably good in Stand By Me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Haim's really good in Firstborn as well with Peter Weller, where Peter Weller's like the new dad and he's like kind of evil and nobody believes him.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Lucas, a lot of familiar faces. Just a nice movie, better than expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely holds up better than most, except for one scene where they're in the locker room and they're just like, let's get homophobic.
It wouldn't be an 80s
movie.
So, yeah, I enjoyed checking in with Lucas.
Yeah, that's funny. Good for you.
Yeah, got to cross those ones I've never seen off the list.
What a weird choice.
Yeah.
But now you never have to watch Rudy, so that's
cool. Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. What else? In the watch pile.
Is that what we're calling this
the
now?
Watch
Welcome
pile.
To the watch pile.
You're in the watch pile.
I'm certain I saw things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw something that we can bring up that I mentioned previously.
Yes, please.
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Casey, you had the plot regaled to you at work, apparently.
I had a coworker at great length.
Yeah.
Explain the entire thing.
And listen, I understand him because I did that to someone.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm never going to watch this movie. Just tell me everything. Like, okay.
First of all, it was a her, Greg.
Okay, fine.
That's right. Doctors can be women now, too.
It's a documentary. It's on Netflix. It's notable for being so twisty and turny, more so than, like, it's just a pretty good documentary. It's well made enough. It's a very Netflix production kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's just the story just goes and goes and is one of those documentaries where your jaw just keeps hitting the floor, like, how?
It's like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, and in that hour and 40 minutes, like, at least six times, Athena and I turned to each other and went, what?
Yeah.
What?
It's
He did what?
Yeah.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
It's got to be one charismatic dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And also the fact that the woman that was a child, that she's on the other side of this horrific thing that we'll get into a little bit, and is like able to talk about it and like help people through these things.
Yeah.
It's just spectacular that she is okay and like can do that, because the stuff that goes down in this movie is just so frightening and fucked up and disturbing, but also frustrating, because you're like, these parents are just,
what the fuck,
what's
is
going on here?
Like, what in the fuck?
Like, you understand that that part of the crux of the documentary is like, back then people left their doors open and your neighbor was like so close to your family, but there's a line.
We all left our doors open and we jerked our buddies off.
Yeah.
And if somebody took your kid away for a week, then you had an 8-month affair with them. It's what
you did.
It's what you did. Come on, is that nuts?
You stole my kid. Jerk me off.
It's, oh my God.
Holy fucking fuck, man.
Yeah. A lot about that that I don't approve of.
Yeah.
being honest. These people. And you should watch it because it's insane, but I can't help but, I have to say anything. Like, the mom, the way she would talk about how she was having the affair with the guy who kidnapped her daughter after.
Twice, yeah.
And she's all like, about it. Like, yeah. In some fond memory or something like that. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, except for the girl who was taken in this, all of the people in this documentary are fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know. I was exhausted with disbelief at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And like when she has been taken more than when she goes like with him later and they like get a call from her, they're like, "We want you home," or whatever. Yeah. It's like, that's all you have to say?
Yeah.
Fucking get home, right? Like what?
Anything. There's a million things. Like in all, I was telling my friend at work the story, and I was like, this guy, you know, he's like, well, you know, people can, you know, when they're manipulators, you know, that's what they do. They work their way in, you know, they can trick people. And I'm like, he convinced the parents that he should sleep in their 9-year-old daughter's bed 4 times a week for 6 months.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to see my best friend 4 times a week for a beer for 6 months. Like, I don't want, that's too much company. What the fuck? And then in with the kids, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
and that's
shit.
Not even mentioning the tapes that he pretends to be an alien on.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, fucking, oh my God. Yeah. What a nightmare.
Whoa.
What a sentence, by the way. That's not even mentioning the tapes that he pretends to be an alien on.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
A couple of aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Unbelievable. If you want to watch a true crime documentary and you want to be constantly saying, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. How could this occur? Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty well done.
Yeah.
Definitely. Abducted in Plain Sight was the name of it. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix.
Speaking of documentaries on Netflix, I watched a documentary on Netflix that was, I think 3/4 of the way through.
Okay.
What's it called? And I'm right at a very, very integral part that I kind of was forced to stop watching. I hate that I was forced to stop watching it. It is, I can't remember what it's called. It's the Flat Earthers.
I watched that. Beyond the Curve.
Beyond the Curve.
Yeah.
I've seen about 10 minutes of it.
Let me tell you, that's a great movie.
Holy shit. Mm. I love this movie on so many levels.
Yeah.
I had to turn it off right when they're about to do the laser test.
Oh, wonderful.
And I wanted to see
the end of the movie
test,
is amazing.
So
I will tell you that.
Can you get a I Am Mark Sargent shirt online? Is that a thing you can
I'm
order?
I'm sure you could.
I'm sure he sells them.
His
He'll
mom is so
wear it to your front door. Yeah.
His mom is so
polite. I
gotta
get a I Am Greg LeGros shirt.
I
don't understand why he has that. Why would you make that shirt?
Because he is Mark Sargent.
Yeah.
He is who he is. And that's what I love the most. Like, this movie took me on such a ride because I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers be crazy. and then I was like, I like these guys a lot.
Well, the thing about Beyond the Curve that works so well is it at once is obviously a movie being like, listen, they are wrong, and it is wild that people think this, but also we're just going to let them be them, and we're just going to follow them to their events and watch them do their podcasts and allow you just to, like, see what they're about. We're not going to be like, these fucking idiots here. It's just like,
there's some very tricky editing.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
They kind of do it to themselves, right?
Like,
absolutely do it to themselves. The scene like, where they're Mark not showing Sar- anything that isn't there.
Did you see the one where the moment where Mark Sargent's at, like, in the NASA, like, they go there and he's like, the button doesn't work. And they just like zoom in. He's like tapping a screen thinking it's a touch screen. And then they like zoom in and there's like a big button that's just like, that's the button. Like, he's like, this touch screen doesn't even work. It's like,
but I love that that was, They're discrediting NASA.
Yeah.
Like, they're complete. This button doesn't even work. NASA's stupid. This watch is broken.
Yeah.
NASA's stupid.
Yeah.
But I love them so much because there's a couple of them where you're like, that guy's
no,
going to
the dude who's
up
introduced
up
with the, like, hammers and the
that
ping pong
guy,
balls.
That guy's on the edge.
And he's, like, going around to cars being like, the earth is flat. That's how you do it. That's
I
how you spread the word.
Was like, he was like, and he's like yelling at this old lady, yeah. The earth is flat. And she's like,
okay.
What?
Yeah.
And then he
brag. He's like, that's how you do
he's
it.
Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah. That's how you
got another one.
Accost a stranger.
Yeah. That's how you scare an old lady.
And he's the one who's like, yeah, and don't even get me started on, like, they're turning the world, making boys into girls and trans. Yeah. And I was like, oh, buddy, get that's, the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's so much overlap.
Yeah.
Like, it's all fun. They're like, oh, flat earth, this and that and that. And vaccinations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. You're veering into a territory.
Yeah. Yeah. At least with the flat earth stuff, like, you're only hurting your own selves and group of people.
Well, you're just keeping yourself in this little sci-fi bubble. But yeah, there's some overlap with some pretty messed up stuff.
Yeah.
But this movie also has this wonderful romance story. Like, I love the relationship.
Yeah, they just should get together. Like, why are they not?
I feel like a number of reasons.
Yeah.
And the two biggest reasons are them.
Yeah.
Because they sometimes want to be with each other.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they're just weirdly passive-aggressively mean to each other. And he is... Like, at one point, Mark Sargent makes this point where he's like, you know, I'm not doing this to be famous. He walks around in a shirt that says,
yeah.
I am Mark Sargent.
Well, I saw somebody describe it as, like, he's, like, the epitome of, like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, I'm kind of a big deal. Like, in this world, I'm a big deal. But, like, normally I'm not a big deal. But, like, over here, I'm a big deal.
All he does is talk about, like, you know, I'm not a celebrity. A lot of people think I am a celebrity.
People come up to me
and treat me like a celebrity because I'm kind of a celebrity.
Yeah,
but
I was going,
like,
through the TSA and the guy was like, I'm a flat earther too, and he didn't even put my bag through the thing. And I'm like, yeah, that fucking happened.
Yeah, well, actually, what he said, he was like...
He winked at me
and
said, like...
Yeah, he was wearing his I Am Mark Sargent shirt. He said, and the guy came over to me, not even lying. And he says, I'm not even lying, so he's lying.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Mark Sargent, too. I'm like, wink. Are you doing a Spartacus thing? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the ending, you got to watch the ending. It's amazing. It lands is so good.
I hate that I had to stop watching it.
Yeah, I can't wait to
finish Beyond the Curve. It's so good. It's so funny and so entertaining. And yeah, and they do, like, get into some stuff with the people that are going to debate them, and they make good points about, like, don't put them off in their own corner. Like, we should talk to them and try and convince them that they're wrong.
That one guy makes a point and I was like near tears because it was so beautiful. Like, it's this guy, like, you know, there's this, I don't know. Science meeting.
Yeah, they're gonna do, like, debates with different sides of different topics or something.
And this guy's like, you know, like, these are potential scientists.
Yeah,
these are not stupid people. These are smart people who have just gone way off the track.
Yeah,
let's not treat them like they're stupid. Let's all explore together.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I love you.
Yeah, yeah, it's on Netflix too. Yeah,
yeah,
Beyond the Curve.
Holy
it's,
shit,
it's
get into it
because real good.
A fucking ride, and I'm not even done.
Yeah,
anything else? Oh, really quick, because the movie is also really quick.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of Dick Miller, I watched 1959's A Bucket of Blood, which is 60 minutes, directed by Roger Corman. And I had seen it a number of times, but it had been a few years, and I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good. I think you would really like it. The gist of it, for people that have never seen it, is Dick Miller plays a busboy at, like, a beatnik club where people read poetry and snap their fingers and stuff and are very, like, pretentious. And it's very much, like, a knowing satire of those kinds of people. And he really wants to be an artist, and he accidentally kills a cat. And in order to hide it, he puts it in plaster, and then he becomes, like, this sort of overnight sensation. And then he has to kind of maybe continue to commit acts like that to keep the art going. And talk about a movie that is simple and to the point and very funny and actually says something about that world. And I just kept thinking about Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah.
And being like, this movie from 1959 is so succinct at like 60 minutes exactly. It gets in. It's like, it's not just like, look at these idiots, but it's also like, look at these people. Like, they're so, some of the stuff that they say are just so funny, and Dick Miller's so great. It's just a really great movie. I think it's public domain. It's probably on YouTube. It's really good. Bucket of Blood. And yeah, it made me really sad because Dick Miller's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a bummer.
But yeah, what a terrific character. So good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I saw Aquaman. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah. I am now ready to plan my, I'm going to watch Aquaman and Venom together. Now that I can rent both, I'm going to do one night.
What did you think of Aquaman?
I'm not all the way through that either.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's probably the second best DC movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a low bar,
because
it's not nearly as good as Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't think Wonder Woman was the best movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good. Yeah,
it's good.
Like a good movie that is great but
okay. So you had like the abrupt music stabs that don't like music changes that don't necessarily fit with the tone here and there. Have you had the big tone shift of the movie? Are they off on a little adventure together yet?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and
that's
all of a sudden
jarring. The music's different in that too. It's like
it's really weird how it just, it's like I don't know, Tomb Raider or something all of a sudden. And so they do that for a little while, and then is it Manta?
Yeah. Black Manta.
Black Manta shows up. And they, you know, teased him and everything.
Right.
And it's like, what do you look like? Because it's a silly looking character anyway, but kind of cool looking in
super
the
cool.
In
comics. Like, that's what he looks like in the comics.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I love that they just went full tilt on this stuff.
I do, but on the page, that's something that can look cool.
Yeah.
But then in real life, it can just look like a really big head. On the little man body.
Yeah.
He looks like a lollipop. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll come back to it when Dan does.
I got to watch my double feature.
Aquaman Venom.
It'll be a real dumb night.
Yeah.
Oh, Venom. What a ride, baby. I read, what's his name when he's Tom Hardy?
Eddie Brock.
My favorite tweet was when Venom eats a guy's head and Eddie Brock has to poop it out. I was like, yeah, that's Venom in a nutshell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nice. Anything else before Film Roulette?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Probably, but I don't remember.
Well, then let's go. Film Roulette. I'm trying different ways to do it. Film Roulette is our weekly segment
where we watch a bad movie and we talk about it.
Yeah, we roll a die and the high roller gets to go see something good. Another high roller gets to go see something good. And then the other low roller sees a terrible movie we have picked as punishment for the week. But that low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to, so it all evens out. Could be good, could be bad. We'll see. This week it was winner's choice, and Casey and Greg got to watch whatever they damn well please. While I stayed home, and we'll get to it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, do you want to do yours first?
I should go first because you guys will dovetail.
We'll dovetail, yeah. What'd you see?
I don't have a terrible amount to say about the movie that I saw. I did a little bit of catch up.
Nice.
Catch up. And I watched a movie that I was very excited to see, but then for whatever reason didn't get to it till just now. I saw Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
I haven't seen that either.
Me either.
Yes.
So this was directed by Boots Riley.
Directed and written.
Yeah.
And
Lakeith Stanfield. And so many other people.
Lakeith Stanfield, Tessa Thompson, Steve Yeun,
Danny Glover,
Armie Hammer,
David Cross's voice, Patton Oswalt's voice, Forest Whitaker, Rosario Dawson. Tons of people in this movie.
There are people in this movie, baby. Okay, so let me tell you something about this movie. It is great.
Nice.
Good.
It's... Oh, man. This movie is so charming and also shabby.
Yeah.
But so charming in its shabbiness. And it tells a story. It's this sort of like madcap comedy that with sort of underpinnings of, of like kind of a social...
Yeah, it seems to be going after a few different things, right? It's not just about like racism. I heard it was also about like unions and like corporate.
Yeah, like it's basically like it's one of those movies that just kind of goes like, here's a fun little story about a lot of shit that's wrong with America, and it culminates in this. Like, I think I've heard it. I don't think I'm original in thinking this, but it felt a lot like early Alex Cox movies, you know, where there's that sort of hyper-realism. But, you know, there's like a real social message.
But it's also a lot of stuff. Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on, and it's a lot of fun, and it's really easy to swallow kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess specifically a lot more like Repo Men.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen... a lot, like some people not react super great to this too, and I feel like it comes from that thing from Repo Man, which is just like, it's not everybody's kind of like, if it's this shit, like if you don't want it a movie to be shabby, then that Repo Man's not for you because it's all over the place. But if you're on the wavelength, it's the best thing ever.
And that's exactly what this movie is. Like, this movie had me from the fucking very beginning. I mean, you'll find no better lead for a movie like this than Lakeith Stanfield, because he's also oddly believable. Like, he's very heartfelt. Like, you just really want to take this journey with him because he's so likable and he's so great. He plays a really great everyman in this movie.
Yeah.
And the people around him are like a little bit larger than life. Oh, I completely forgot. His best friend is played by, God damn it. I can't think of anything.
I had the names open.
I really like him. He's a comedian. Fuck. I
can't get it up.
Anything these days.
Move on.
Anyway, he's really great.
Who does he play? Salvador?
No.
Mr. Blank?
Wait, Salvador.
Yeah? Yeah. Jermaine Fowler?
Jermaine Fowler, right. Every single part of this movie is so fucking charming and so likable, and it tells this story in such a
he was in that Superior Donuts TV show wasn't great, but
it was not
I kind of watched anyway because it was charming
and because he's really great.
He's funny, also
on Crashing a lot. Sort of playing himself is really great. I cannot, especially for you two, I cannot recommend this movie enough. I think you will just have so much fun.
Like, the whole band will like it?
What?
Sorry, I was off my own head, and you were like, "You too," and I was like, "You too." just entertaining myself,
Craig,
there.
You dumb idiot.
The Edge is gonna love it.
Especially you too. This is straight up Larry Mullen Jr.'s
Larry
joint.
Larry Mullen Jr.
He's gonna get up at this business. Eclipsed perhaps only by bass player.
Yeah. Something, whatever, something, 2,000 pounds.
Whatever it is.
I only know his name as the joke from You Talking You Too to Me, yeah, where it's like, what, play 2,000 pounds or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I'm a dummy.
I kind of want to see this movie, and then also they had it as an album because he was in the rap group The Coup, and they did the Sorry to Bother You as an album because they were going to make it as a movie and they couldn't, and so like then they made an album, and then years later he was like, now I can make the movie. Yeah, so I feel like that'd be interesting to circle back on.
Yeah, I didn't know it was an album. I'm going to check that shit out because I could definitely see this being an album.
Yeah.
You too loves albums.
Yeah.
they make them all the time.
Speaking of albums... You guys hear this YouTube band? It just showed up on my iPod.
Yeah. They're not Sorry to Bother You. No. They will absolutely bother you.
They're going
to
start showing up in movies now. Yeah.
You're watching a movie and it just turns into the new album from YouTube. Here we are.
Joe and Greenpeace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we bugging you?
I don't mean to bug you.
We're sorry to bug you.
So Sorry to Bother You, a hearty recommendation.
Absolutely. Just loved it.
Nice. So, Greg, you watched a movie that I've seen.
Yeah.
What's the name of that movie?
I watched the brand new Matthew McConaughey motion picture.
Yeah.
Serenity.
Yes. Now, if you'll all excuse me, I'm going to go up and... talk to Athena for a while.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Somebody come up and get me because I do not want this movie spoiled for
you. Okay. Casey doesn't want to be spoiled.
And
we got to give spoilers.
Sorry for you listeners, as we are going spoiler hard.
Okay. If you don't want to be spoiled for Serenity, then skip ahead 10 minutes.
Well.
Or whatever.
Six.
Yeah. Stephen Knight directed this.
And wrote it.
And wrote it previously of Locke.
Yeah.
Which was a well-received film.
It's because it's a good film.
Yeah. And I think he also made another movie in 2013 around the time of Locke that was like middle reviewed.
Sure.
Like three and a half stars.
Yeah.
Called Hummingbird, which I have not seen.
Me either.
This, I feel like, must have been some kind of, I don't know, not pet project, passion project, but like, I feel like maybe he wrote and directed all of his movies, but this feels like the unchecked, you know, like. You've had some success, now do you.
So,
I don't know.
Let your freak flag fly, buddy.
So the trailer for this,
I
was definitely into it. I'm like, this looks like sleazy 90s.
Sleazy, sweaty noir.
I'm into it.
Let's do it.
Let's have a murder mystery.
Yeah, he plays a fisherman. Anne Hathaway shows up, his old fling. He has a kid with her, and she needs him to kill
her abusive
new
husband.
Abusive husband.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to, but you know, there's passion there still. They can sleep together.
Yeah.
So it's all the makings for a sweaty, bombastic, over melodramatic good time.
Totally.
Yeah.
And
it kinda is.
It kinda,
for a while.
It starts off that way, but it just seems like a really bad movie like that. Cause it's just shot like a fragrance ad the whole time.
Yeah. Like, it looks good, but you're also
to
what
not
end?
In an engaging way, but in a like a look at or like a it's like the fire festival.
Totally.
You know, McConaughey's just doing whatever.
Yeah.
He's there.
It starts very rocky. I felt like the first, 10 minutes, I didn't get my bearings.
It starts abruptly and weirdly, and I'm like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
What
and
is happening?
And it takes a while for,
why
her to show up.
Why did he pull a knife in that guy? What's up with the fish?
Yeah.
And it doesn't sell you the world very well right away. Yeah, it doesn't hook
you. It takes a little while.
And then when Anne Hathaway shows up, that's where it first starts, things feel off.
Yeah.
Because she's acting like kind of send-up noir-esque, you know, but no one else in this movie is.
No.
I so feel she like, really stands out.
Yeah.
And it's awkward.
Yeah. But I was kind of like, I wanted more of that. Like, I was like, yeah, you're...
If the whole world had matched her, yeah. Like, maybe she was right, but her, no one else but matching no one else her, being and the director's there. Not there with her either, because it's not shot that way.
Yeah.
It all just feels weird.
Totally.
And they do, like, when she's introduced, too, like, the camera work changed, because they did, like, that kind of, like, Matrix or, like, Charlie's Angels from behind around to the front thing, and I was like, what just happened here? And... So he's got the son with her.
Yeah, the new dad.
Yeah.
Abusive. We get lots of flashbacks to him, and the son is this nerd, and he's always on his computer, and the new abusive dad hates it, wishes he would go outside.
Yeah, because he's always,
he's going to beat him up maybe someday or whatever.
And Matthew McConaughey keeps on thinking of this wonderful memory of fishing he had with his son when he's like, I remember when we were fishing and you were just three. And I'm like, that's a 6 or 7-year-old kid. Anyway.
And then we also get these weird flashes of something that you don't know what it is going on. Like something happened.
The first indication that things are not going to play out normally here is... Because you constantly see the kid playing his fishing game.
That's like
so, okay.
He's always in his room playing his. He's just playing a guy on a boat fishing game.
Yeah,
and it's like what?
Okay, man. Okay, and then there's so Matthew McConaughey knocks over a glass of water.
Yeah,
and so does the kid.
Yeah,
and then McConaughey's putting his hand in the water like, and then he goes. Patrick? Is that you? And the kid's touching the water. But he doesn't say anything. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Are they what is fucking happening here? Now, we are spoiling it. So it's
well, there's a guy who keeps showing up and he's like, I'm trying to find you. Like, I gotta, like, tell you something. And every time I show up, you're leaving on your boat.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene where finally he gets him in a room.
Yeah, like in the middle of the movie, you get the big reveal.
He's like, you gotta do this because of the rules.
I'm the rules.
Yeah. And Matthew McConaughey is like, what rules? What are you talking about? And that's kind of when it's revealed.
That it's the game.
Yeah.
That it's all happening. That's the kid's game that he made. Which then raises all of these questions.
Oh, I'm sure the movie will answer these questions.
So, the kid is at home with his mom and abusive stepdad. So, he's made a fishing game.
Like a simulation.
A simulation starring his dad, real dad.
Yes.
Trying to catch a fish. And that, but he's also made his dad into like a fisherman prostitute.
Yes.
Because he keeps banging.
Oh yeah,
Diane Lane for money.
Underused.
Like anyone is like Diane Lane needs to pay anyone for sex. Are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, she's so underutilized.
Yeah, it's so bizarre that whole thing where he's a man hooker.
I know.
And then I don't know. Well, so did the kid program that his mom would go there and bang his dad in a gross way in a boat?
I guess.
Did the kid, is that his fantasy? Like, my dad has weird sex.
Yeah.
He'll suck on your chin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. There's also an element to the movie of Matthew McConaughey in the computer program is gaining sentience as if he is an AI. So there's an element of like he's only been programmed so far, and then now he's kind of acting on his own, which might, I guess, explain how he could be doing things maybe that the kid wouldn't program, but it's never really fully explained.
No. It's like someone wanted to make a movie about video games, but they never, ever played a video game.
Yeah.
It's so confusing.
And so for me, this movie was like really entertaining and stupid to try and sort through, but it never fully crossed over into that world of like, this is a great bad movie. It just felt like when we watched, I don't know. I think Casey, did you watch The Snowman?
Oh, yeah. Casey saw it.
Where it's like this slickly made thing that doesn't fit together and everyone's trying things, but nobody has any direction.
Yeah.
And it just ends up being this really weird movie. But it never becomes like so hilariously you got to see this. But you kind of also have to see it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's one of those movies you watch and you think, even when he handed the script in, did anyone be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, hey, wait, what?
Hold on.
You know, what? Or on the set, be like, what?
All these people are in a game the kid made up?
This is really stupid, right? Yeah. Like, I was supposed to be stupid?
No, that doesn't make any sense. You can't do this. And so the kid plays the game because it's... And in the game, you think his stepdad is this billionaire, but it turns out in real life, he's just a construction worker.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, what?
Yeah. And there's some weird thing about, like... Matthew McConaughey has to kill the husband in the game so that in real life the kid can be free.
Go stab the dad, too.
But why?
Because his dad's beating up his mom and stuff.
Yeah,
and
but
he's like,
why?
You're not my real dad. Well, your real dad's gone. No, my real dad's a fisherman prostitute.
It's never like pointed out, like, why does he need the game to do that in order for him to do that?
And then at the end, so...
Oh, fuck that.
McConaughey kills the guy and has him, the fish take him away to drown him.
Yeah, some
in the
big
game.
Fish.
And then in real life, then the kid goes and stabs his stepdad and kills him. And then...
In the game.
While he's in, like, police questioning, like, he's at a table... He's just, like, spaced out, and then you're in the game again, and the payphone rings. McConaughey answers it, and it's his son. They talk for a bit.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, can I come visit you?
Yeah.
And he's like, totally, buds.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And then the whole world goes, bloop, 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 and things start changing, and then his kid's there.
Shows
they
up.
Hug so much hugging, and that's it. I'm like, what's
did
happening?
Did he program himself into the game?
Did he get there from the police station?
Why did he just program a game where he sees his dad from the start? Like,
because his dad's dead. That's the other reason.
Yeah.
He died in the war.
Yeah, he died in the war.
Yeah.
But why did.
So is he in the. Is the kid in the game now? Or
did the
it,
kid kill himself?
Yeah.
I'm going to come visit you because you're dead.
And we'll be in this
we'll
game.
We'll be in the game forever.
Is it like a Tron thing? Did he have a little gun that was like. While he was in the police station?
Yeah.
Sucked him into his game?
And there's all these.
What the fuck?
Details where it's like trying to do something. Like there's this detail with this big piece of like driftwood. And it's like they're sitting on it on the beach, him and that dude with the rules.
Yeah.
But then it's floating in the water by the boat in a key scene.
Yeah.
And you're like, why?
Yeah.
What is the driftwood?
Right.
You haven't given me nearly enough to look into the coding of whatever these items are to try and figure out what your movie's about. I feel like, I don't know, maybe the script made sense. Maybe there was a way. I don't know how.
I don't know. But with McConaughey, I'm like, dude, you just fought so hard to dig yourself out of the fool's gold Sahara. Not to make a part three of that to finish this trilogy.
Oh my
god. Of shirtless boat movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's ridiculous enough that I would say, like, if you like weird things, you should check it out. Because it is a, like...
And there's weird... Because it's not just the plot stuff that happens. Like, McConaughey is basically fine in it, but every once in a while, he'll, like... When no one else is doing something weird or that all that heightened dramatic, he'll look up, he'll scream up at the heavens.
Oh, that was good.
Patrick!
Yeah. Give me the pole or whatever.
Yeah,
just
all
like,
kinds of
goes...
weird explosions of... Yeah. It's so strange.
Yeah. What a weird movie.
Take a look, because they don't make them this fucking bananas too often.
Definitely worth looking if you like that kind of.
Yeah.
What's going on here? It's just all these, all these choices were made, and nobody stopped to say like, "But what is going on here?"
Or maybe this is your cup
maybe
of tea. Maybe
it.
You've always wished that your dad was an alcoholic fisherman prostitute.
Yeah, it just makes me think of stuff like Identity, where like that movie is entertaining and has a really dumb twist, and the twist kind of tracks, but it's really stupid.
Yeah.
But like, it's a fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
This isn't even that.
No,
because
I just like I don't. Maybe I'm mad. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
what's going on? And now it's over.
Computer.
What was the? Did the fish mean anything? At all?
Oh yeah.
A fish called Justice.
Oh my god.
Right. Justice. That's a movie.
Serenity.
Yep.
It's worth a look for you.
It's worth a look. They don't make them this nuts too often, kids.
Yeah. Imagine being in the theater.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I fucking wish.
Not knowing what was coming.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
What a delight that would have been.
All right.
I'll go retrieve
Casey.
Let's
go get Casey. Casey's back.
Casey's back.
I'm back. Your wife, I guess, had taken your daughter to bed.
Yeah.
So I just sat in your dark living room. By myself.
You could have turned lights on.
What?
I prefer it this way.
Yeah.
I felt very creepy. I couldn't hear what you guys were saying, but I could hear just enough noise so that I know at one point in the movie Serenity, someone goes bloop, 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 bloop.
That's true. It does go bloop, 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 bloop.
I know that. So, spoiler.
Yeah, sorry. Bloop, 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 bloop. Yep.
Well,
that's the big twist.
You were sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
And do you know what else is dark and spooky and crazy? It's a little posse. I like to call insane clown posse.
Oh, hold on. No, wait.
What? You talk about ICP?
Yeah.
I want to know about Little Italy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, what the fuck
How
are
did
you
I
doing?
Forget?
Yeah.
Well, we just ripped on a movie, so I was like, oh, there's the rip out of the way.
No. Give me the Little Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lee. I completely forgot. Yeah. So, let me get it up here. Yeah. Little Italy. This is a movie from last year. It stars Hayden Christensen,
Emma Roberts,
Alyssa Milano, Andrea Martin, lots of people. Danny Aiello. It is directed by Donald Petrie, who also directed a little movie called Mystic Pizza. And this is a movie
about loves pizza movies.
Oh, yeah. So this guy really
He's
likes
the
pizza.
Foremost pizza movie guy.
Yeah. So this movie got a bunch of kind of press in the world of like going to see bad movies and stuff, especially in Canada, because it got really bad reviews. And it was like, I guess they were trying to kind of push it a little bit. So it was a big theatrical release at some time. I don't know how big, but it played Toronto. And I feel like it got just a ton of bad reviews. And and I know it was covered on How Did This Get Made? And I think you said last week that a lot of it was like a Little Italy somewhere else.
Yeah, they could not get over the fact that there was a Little Italy in Toronto.
Yeah.
They thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And well, there is one.
Yeah.
It's just, it's funny.
It's part of town where a lot of Italian people live.
Yeah. Yeah. What's next? Chinatown in Toronto? Who knows?
What?
Yeah. Oh, different place. Yeah. I don't know.
Chinese culture in Canada.
Canada. Where's the moose? So Little Italy is a romantic comedy. Have you guys ever seen a romantic comedy? See one of these things? See a romantic comedy where like a couple should have been together a long time ago, but you know they reunite when they're older, and will they, won't they kind of thing? Their families might have some tension kind of thing.
Is this pizza related?
Is there pizza in there somewhere?
Yeah, okay. I don't relate to romance as much as I do to pizza.
Okay. Because if you've seen a romantic comedy of middling to poor quality, you have seen Little Italy.
Oh.
And it's weird to me that this movie has like a How Did This Get Made and all this stuff, because there's 100 of these movies.
Uh-huh.
The most notable thing about this movie is how casually racist it is. The whole movie is just like, hey, what's up, matter you? Hey. It's like leans real hard into like, Italians, all we are pizza. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And it's very like, okay, there's other stuff with Italians. This feel like this is offensive.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole rich culture, you can do anything, but instead it's about this pizza place that was the best pizza place in Little Italy, but then the two dads of the families that co-owned it fight, and now they have next door to each other pizza places, and they hate each other now. But their kids, who were once very cute and best friends, grew up and are
now very ugly and hate each other.
Yeah. Well, she left and went to France to become a fancy chef, and maybe the family won't like that because we do pizza. And
hey, your mama
and he stayed there and is a pizza guy now, and so she comes back and they kind of fall back into this relationship, and we can't let the families know because they hate each other. And it's
like the Romulans and Capulans.
Yeah. Or the houses in Dune or whatever they were called. And it's like, it's a bad movie. It's a real bad movie. And makes me feel bad for Andrea Martin because she's delightful. And a couple chuckles from her here, but, you know, not really given too much to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of leans into some other stereotypes. Like they have like this Asian guy who thinks he owns an Italian place, but he's not Italian. And
oh God.
Yeah, and there's like, and then there's one Indian guy, and like people will be like, an Indian? Oh, whoa, weird.
What?
Not like, like they're just very like, it's just presented as very kind of like cutesy in a way where you're just kind of like, okay, see, you just got like your little jokes in on like a bunch of different stuff, but not in like a super offensive way, but in a way where you're like, I don't know, whatever. Like,
we know what you're trying to
say.
Yeah.
Like it's trying to be very like nice and inclusive and stuff, but it's in that way where you're just like, you just got an Asian guy and an Indian guy, so you could have like the one joke that involves them at the end of the movie or whatever. And yeah, it's just a romantic comedy. There's no real anything between them. It's not, there's no spark or there's no chemistry, and it just goes along for 100 minutes, and then at the end of the movie she decides she's gonna go back and he's gotta run to the airport, unironically run to the airport at the end of a romantic comedy. It's just, yep. That's the movie. It's somebody took romantic comedy boilerplate and then input like pizza, Italians, fancy cooking, families hate each other, go computer, and like this is what was spat out. Like it's so unremarkable. Like it's kind of bad funny, but it's like not like, I'm surprised there was an episode's worth of how did this get made to get out of it. It's just like
again, a lot of it was about how crazy it is. Canada.
Yeah. Yeah,
they got stuff in Canada.
Like, there's some twist to the plot where you could be like, rip on this because it's such a dumb twist, and who would act that way? But that's like every fucking movie like this.
Sure.
Like, I've seen enough of those movies we've done for punishment films that are like the Hallmark Christmas movie, or like the Hallmark, which was the one we watched, one that was really nuts, Noel or whatever.
I don't remember. Oh yeah,
yeah, like yeah, that yeah, stuff. Yeah, like we've seen enough of that where now this is just like. Yeah, I've seen like 100 of these.
Yeah,
and like someone's mom watched it and was like, cute, and that was their takeaway. And like, who fucking cares? It's bad. It's a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch it. But yeah, I don't know. Is this the...
I'm coming out of this review pretty much the same way I went in.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. Yeah. Not going to watch it.
I'll just have some pizza.
Go watch Noel.
I will probably have some pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. Bad movie. I mean, I will say... people really hate Hayden Christensen, and he may be terrifically awful in this, but like, I don't know, like they're both just there. Yeah. Like, I don't know enough about his acting to know that like it wasn't good, but yeah, it was a bad movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to watch it.
Well, now we can get back to Casey's upstairs. He's in the dark.
Yeah.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
He hears a little clown laugh from the corner. Who is it? It's one of the insane clown posses.
One of
them. Oh, God. How did they get in here?
What's his name? Fearless Fred Fury, maybe.
Yeah.
Is he one of the clown posse?
No, that's the name of the album.
No, I know, but I didn't know if it was.
No, he's a character. The album's about him. It's
one
like
of the Joker cards.
Yeah, it's a Joker card album, which is a special
type
album
of album.
For them.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They have all these albums.
They have a type of album?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this.
They have a lot of albums based on Joker cards, which feature characters that the albums are then kind of based around, like
that's
the Great Milenko
right.
and all these different characters. And this is the new chapter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're not like
let
related, but.
No, they're not related, but it's like a, you know, that's like...
It's their little thematic kind of concept.
It's the Dark Carnival saga.
Yeah.
And this... Violent J announced that he had received the name, face, and backstory for the new Joker card V-mail, an email in his brain. He went on to say...
Wow, they really don't know how science works.
He went on to say... Before we go out on the parental advisory tour with Two Live Crew, Onyx and Necro, which will run from June until the gathering of the Juggalos, we will get the skeleton formed. After the GOTJ Shaggy 2 Dope will go on the FTFOMF tour, and when he gets back, he will begin putting the nervous system, muscles, and skin to the new entity and bring to life the beast. I won't speak much on it right now. But the only thing I will say is, Red Fred!
GOTJ is the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, I see. What is the FTFOMF tour?
I don't know.
Fucked
up. I don't know. Yeah, so this is the 15th album from them.
15th?
Yeah, and the fourth in the second deck of the Dark Carnival.
Yes.
Because they got this organized into decks.
Oh,
So this is just the Joker, but some of the other albums are, say,
no,
like,
they're all Jokers. Club? They're all different types of Joker.
That's
cards.
Not a deck of cards.
It's a deck of Jokers.
But they don't know how magnets work. I'm not surprised they don't know how a deck of cards works. Yeah.
I think so. We did the Great Malenko, I believe, and then one of their other non-Joker card albums in the past.
Right.
Yeah.
is the Great?
That's like the big one. I think the Great Malenko was like their kind of smash album.
Okay. Mighty Death Pop we did.
Yes,
which is, yeah,
that was one of their later albums.
Right.
That was the album that was coming out at the time.
At the time, yeah.
Right.
And now we're back at the time of release of Fearless Fred Fury, who is the titular character, is introduced to us in the intro.
What is what's his whole
thing? He's very sexy. Sort of fucked attractive. Up, I guess, and very like, I'm trying to remember...
The whole, it's like, he's like, he...
It's like the dark side of something
or
other.
Yeah, when you don't take advantage of all the great gifts that life has to offer to you.
Yeah, Fearless Freddy or whatever comes and gets you.
And he yells fuck words at you.
Oh, he said, here it is. It's basically looking through the eyes of people.
When you don't take advantage of
all of the
treasures of
life. Yeah, this is what it is. It's basically looking through the eyes of people who only see things negatively, like they don't care about anything, and how people who only let things that hurt them stay in their lives and continuously hurt them fight back. In a nutshell, it's YOLO.
How
you
is
only,
fight
you only
spelled
live.
There?
F-I-T-E.
Yeah.
You gotta fight back against the things
spelling.
That hurt you and proper spelling.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind
Listen,
of a nice message.
After hearing...
Maybe this clown posse isn't as insane as I first thought.
Honestly, after hearing the records that we had done before, I believe the Mighty Death Pop one was garbage.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff on their early one that was just them being offensive to be offensive.
Do you think it was, Dan?
But I do find some of this like fascinating. Like, there's just this weird fascination with like their... fucking gathering the Juggalos
like how big they are is absolutely crazy to me. This and the flat earth and everything, everything is bad. I'm glad that they at least are against Trump.
Yeah,
so that's fun.
Yeah, they have a song. They have a song here that's very like trying to be fuck yeah.
That is good stuff. Because I feel like to have that sentiment among dumb America, which is really where they live.
Right.
Like, that's really squarely their camp.
I really want to see, like, a big fight between, or like, the rising tides of Juggalos versus MAGA hats.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only thing we can send at them that will speak their language but combat them equally.
Yeah.
Juggalos.
Yeah. This album is very long.
All of them were. All of them are super duper long.
It's much too long.
And it was so hard to pay attention to what they're saying. And it is a lot of mixed messages, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a lot of,
like... I kept thinking, like, they're trying to say a thing, and then they're undercutting it.
They're trying to say something positive, like, this is a pretty beautiful fucking world. But then also they're like, I fucked your girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you and stab you and, you know,
and they
peel your skin off. But isn't it a fucking beautiful day?
I'm going to motherfucking eat your face on this blessed event.
And the one thing that I will say that irked me about the album the most was they still kind of like they rely really heavily on the like you cocksucker like I feel like at this point that's like don't say that don't call somebody a cocksucker negatively because you're just like
I think it's great that they are still so squarely in that camp. And so is Eminem. Eminem is still rapping about slapping ladies and stuff.
Yeah.
I love that they're both left so far
and
behind.
These guys are in their like mid to late 40s. And like, dude, how do you sit down and put the
Here's
makeup?
The thing, though.
Do they have to put the makeup on to write these lines? They must. Like, just sit in their study. Like, I will be over for dinner in a minute, honey. I just have to write.
Eminem doesn't, in the middle of his album, though, have a track where he's like, but it's all jokes and we wouldn't actually want anyone to get hurt.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which they have here.
Seriously hilarious song or whatever.
Where they're talking about how funny they are and we got jokes because we're seriously hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is very strange.
That's, that's adorable. I think this is really sweet.
Honestly, like, I will say from the second track, which is the first song, up until maybe track eight, which is kind of actually a... I didn't hate the song Game Over, where it's like making fun of people, like gamers, and it kind of had like an okay production, and I thought there was some funny stuff in the song. Like, it's not a good song, but I was, but for the a chunk of the album, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 songs, I was like amused with what I like, not like this is good, but I was kind of like,
no, it's like the thing is like they're, I mean, the rap skills are questionable.
Yeah, well, for
but
sure.
But the beats aren't...
The production on this isn't garbage.
Aren't terrible. No. And I found that
it has its
the,
own little thing.
I Ooh. Found that with the previous ones, too. It's like, some of the beats are fine.
Yeah.
And so you can, like, leave it... If you could leave it on accidentally a little longer than you should. Like, well, if you tune it out, right, it sort of sounds like it's music.
Yeah.
Like, right? If you guys both had have said... Because this is 17 songs. Yeah. If you both had have said... Listen, I didn't listen to this entire thing. I would have been like, no, of course you didn't.
Oh, I did.
I did.
Yeah.
Went on for my commute drive.
Yeah. If this had ended at Game Over, tracks 9 through 17, it gets a slog. At least those first chunks are like kind of funny and amusing to what's going on here, and this is ridiculous. But then it just gets into like, okay, here's Nobody's Fault, which is like the emo-y kind of like pleading one. That
and
sucks.
There's no Miracles. Do you know that Miracles song they have with that crazy video?
Yeah.
You seen that?
Magnus. Yeah, that's the Magnus one.
Yeah. Have you seen the video?
Yeah, so good.
I've seen the Saturday Night Live parody of
Wonderful.
It,
okay,
which is fucking
it is
great.
Beautiful. I did look at some of the user reviews on AllMusic.
Yeah.
And it was a fun little... the first one, Ashley Morris says... This album is without a doubt their best work yet. The evolution that the Insane Clown Posse has gone through astonishes me. They have been grinding for more than 30 years, which is fucking crazy. And their most loyal fan base in the entire world. Their definition of originality are not selling out their style and who they are. That's great. There's a few of them where they're like, best ICP ever. Oh my God, the humor, the fucking great beats, the rhymes. God, hands down best. Fire, fire, fire.
Beer, beer,
like,
beer.
God damn, there's a lot of horribleness on here. But then I was like, are there other reviews? And I did find something else that I kind of found funny, the sliding scale in the other way, where people are like, yeah, this isn't great.
Yeah. I was on Rate Your Music, and there were some people being like, this is a big letdown.
Yeah. Like, here we go. The guy called Not Bazilla says, not their best, but if ain't broke, don't fix it. Someone else completely exceeded my expectations. And then the last one here is the 3-word review, Insane Clown Pussy.
Is that good or bad?
I'm not entirely sure.
That was one of them.
It's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not good. Nope. But if you have that kind of weird fascination, you might want to check in on a couple songs. But it won't be like Magnets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magnets. Well, I can't say I'm surprised, but I am happy that I inconvenienced you both.
Yeah, it was very inconvenient. Putting it on is hard.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's especially when it's like your commute. Like when you're like either going to work where you need, you know, a little motivation to kind of go to work kind of thing. Yeah. This is not going to help you do that.
No.
It's not going to help you have a good day.
No. Do you know what is also not going to help you have a good day?
I feel like bad, really bad is coming.
Well.
God, I hope Joan of Arc has a new album.
Well. Funny you say that about going back to the well of Tim Kinsella.
Oh, God.
Damn it.
Tim Kinsella has a new project. His project is called Good Fuck.
Oh my God.
And it is a project between him and his wife. And here's a little bit about this. Tim Kinsella and Jenny Pulse have consummated their love on disc. The result is Good Fuck.
Nope.
An erotic exploration of experimental literary techniques and adventurous electronic beats.
I don't want to listen to this guy fuck.
Listen to this. Kinsella says he and Pulse were stunned by the results of their collaboration.
I don't want to listen to them fuck. This is grossing me out.
I don't think they actually fuck. They're just, that's the way they're describing.
I don't want to listen to them talk about fucking.
No, they probably talk about it.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
Because what if I get a weird boner out of it? What do I have to do? What? I don't want to know that about myself.
Mm-hmm. Kinsella describes it as a collaborative conscious alignment. The most unique aspect of this creative method involves the writing of the album's lyrics. We agreed on 12 books we thought most relevant and came up with various systems to collapse and collage them into each other in different combinations.
Holy shit, I fucking hate this guy so much.
So, enjoy that. We're going back to the Joan of Arc, Tim Kinsella, well, because you guys love it so much. Brand new album this year.
God damn it.
Released 2/22/2019. Good fuck, self-titled.
And good fuck to you all.
So enjoy it. Love it. I did not listen to it.
Oh, shit. You just reminded me of the most upsetting.
What?
Of deaths.
Oh, no.
That occurred. Brody Stevens.
Oh, my God. That was a bummer.
That one really upset
really
me.
Sucks. Yeah. That was super bummer. I saw, I think, a couple podcasts re-released like their, like, You Made It Weird, and I think, did Marc Maron re-release one?
Yeah.
So. Such a bummer.
Yeah.
He was anyway. So great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he was on a whole bunch of levels. Just.
Yeah.
Such an interesting person. And, mental illness is.
Yeah.
Scary thing.
There was a movie about him, right? Didn't you say you watched that once a long time ago, or like a show or something?
He had a show called Enjoy It.
Yeah, okay.
Which was like one of his catchphrasy things.
Yeah. Did you read that story about him going out to that crowd of like industry people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so good.
That's great.
I love that story. I love the story about him traveling with another comedian. They went to a McDonald's. The other comedian, I can't remember who the other comedian was. The other comedian was apparently rude to the McDonald's worker, and Brody Stevens made him go up and apologize, but stopped everyone in the restaurant. Like, said, "Can I have your attention, please, everybody? My friend was rude, so now he's going to apologize."
I love it.
Just in this, if you know who Brody Stevens was, then just you can picture that happening, and just how fucking wonderful it must have been.
That was bad.
Just heartbreaking.
So sad. Yeah.
Anyway, thought I'd bring it down a little.
Well, next week we'll talk about Good Fuck and a movie.
We're gonna roll the dice.
We're gonna roll a dice for the movie, though.
Yeah,
we're gonna roll the dice. Show.
So Captain Marvel's out there.
Yeah.
So gotta see that, right? Yeah.
So I'm all prepared. I'm gonna lose this week. Here's a superhero movie I won't get to see.
And by all accounts, sounds like a pretty great one. So.
Yeah.
Let's see if I have a die. Here it is. All right. Okay. And the loser. What was the name of the loser?
What
Lies Ahead, starring Rumor Willis.
Yes. The trailer for
this. Oh, shit. Is that who that was?
Yep. Yeah. Go watch the trailer for What Lies Ahead.
Holy shit. This trailer is so bad, I showed 6 people this trailer today. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Everything. The trailer sucks.
Yeah.
Like.
But in a way that I want to see it, too.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see this movie.
I thought that you couldn't get a movie with this kind of out-of-touch, clueless, bad acting anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, this wonderful. Movie has no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Oh, it stinks. I love it.
Go check out the trailer, What Lies Ahead. It's a road movie like with a maybe I'm with somebody who's crazy in the car.
French fries.
Yeah. I hope they don't throw French fries
French
at me.
French fries like a psycho.
You made me kill. You made me kill
fries.
All right.
What you made me do.
All right.
Get French fries all over the car.
Captain Marvel versus What Lies Ahead.
Versus French Fries, the movie.
Is that the name, What Lies Ahead?
I might be making that up.
What Lies?
Pretty sure. That's a 6.
Ooh.
I got a 4. Casey
got
a 1.
Yes.
I can go see Captain Marvel. That's wonderful.
Nice. What Lies Ahead? That's what we were saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to tell you guys, I'm not upset.
I got to tell you, maybe I'll watch it too.
I think this movie
I might watch it.
Yeah, I might do an all in.
Watch this. All it in. Looks, that fucking trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. More beautiful than Bradley Cooper staring into Lady Gaga's eyes.
Yes.
Yes, I love this movie more than those two love each other.
Yeah. What's with that? Everyone like, are they in love?
No.
Like it's a performance at the fucking Oscars.
Yeah.
Also, who gives a shit?
It's insane. In this, like, the earth is flat. Everyone loves the insane clowns. And we think that they're in love because they sang a song on the fucking Oscars.
Yeah.
And, like,
and looked at each other.
Looked at each other.
Did they think if Bradley Cooper goes to the Grammys, he's going to piss his pants? Because it's all performance. It's a show. Yeah. What's wrong with everyone?
Hashtag fake news.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week we'll talk about Captain Marvel, What Lies Ahead, and Good Fuck.
God damn you.
And until next week, goodbye, internet. See you next Wednesday. What was it in the movie that you heard?
Dad, you did it in reverse.
I'm sorry.
You must have been rewinding it. I hope that there's a point in that movie when I'm watching it and I go, that's the part!
You will. Oh, you will. You'll go, blah, 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 blah.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.